Could discontent with the Nationals in some regional areas spell trouble for the coalition in the upcoming federal election? The 18th of May poll looms as a litmus test for the rural independent movement. The Watergate scandal, so-called, engulfing the coalition, could boost the prospects of some of the rural independent candidates who are campaigning very much around water issues, water resource management. Former Agriculture and Water Minister Barnaby Joyce has sought to hose down the controversy over an $80 million water buyback paid to a company listed in the Cayman Islands. This was back in 2017.
My role was never to actually select a purchaser or to determine a price. I'm quite happy if people want to basically test the veracity of what I'm saying to do so by whichever means they want. I'm absolutely confident that we have done absolutely nothing wrong.
Drought envoy Barnaby Joyce speaking in Tamworth yesterday. So just how damaging is this issue for the coalition and has it played into the campaign by the rural independents? We're joined this morning by three of those independents who are hoping to join the crossbench in the next parliament. Rob Oakeshott, remember him? He was the kingmaker in the Gillard government. He's standing again, this time on the New South Wales mid-north coast in the seat of Cowper, which has long been a safe national seat, and he joins us from Port Macquarie. Helen Haynes is in a three-cornered contest with the Nationals and Liberals to replace the independent Cathy McGowan in the Victorian rural seat of Indi. She joins us from her home in Wangaratta. And across the border in the neighbouring New South Wales electorate of Farrer, the Albury Mayor, Kevin Mack, is trying to unseat Susan Lee, the Assistant Minister for Regional Development and Territories and former Health Minister. He joins us from Mildura. Welcome to you all.
Thank you.
Kevin Mack, can I start with you? Because you were one of the independents, I think there was 11 of them, who signed a petition calling for a royal commission into the Murray-Darling. What do you want investigated? Just this buyback deal signed off by Barnaby Joyce back in 2017, or the entire Murray-Darling Basin plan and how it's working?
No, I think the whole litany of disasters that has haunted the Murray-Darling Basin plan from the start. I think there's a whole host of issues with the plan and certainly have been well documented. But, you know, since 2008, when I believe the David Littlepout has asked for a review by the Auditor-General, but 2008 they started the buybacks, but even further back to the 1990s when they started implementing the process of buybacks, I think the whole issue has sold out the environment. I'm just wondering, as a community, is it something that we want to continue to do? Because I heard during the break that people are not happy with the overreach by the Labor government in relation to the cost of climate change. Well, the cost of climate change in this issue is impacting upon the Murray-Darling Basin communities, and we needed to review what's happening and understand what the cost is.
Okay, you've been campaigning strongly in your electorate, in your campaign on water management issues. Barnaby Joyce says this whole, you know, so-called Watergate scandal is another Mediscare campaign by Labor. Do you agree with that? Is Labor over-egging it? Are these comments making an impact in the electorate there of Farrer?
I think the only person over-egging it is Barnaby Joyce, to be honest. I don't think, you know, I'm flattered that Barnaby's worried about what's happening in Farrer or worried about what I'm saying, because I'm not saying anything particular about Barnaby. But
no, I think he's saying the whole buybacks campaign from Labor is like Mediscare again.
Well, this issue wasn't a Labor scare campaign. This issue was something that was raised by us as constituents, and certainly in our campaign, that there are issues with the plan, and part of those issues were the buyback issues. But this issue with the $80 million buyback was raised by the project. It wasn't raised by Labor. So, you know, I don't know where the coalition are getting their stories, but at the end of the day, this is both major parties. We need to remind ourselves that both major parties are part of this review. So I think they're both responsible for this whole plan, and they need to be reviewed equally and not separately.
Okay. Helen Haynes, you say that I understand that Watergate is likely to be the tip of a melting iceberg. Do you want the federal government's move to ask the Auditor-General, do you welcome that to examine a decade's worth of water buybacks, or are you more interested in Labor's policy, which we're going to hear more about today? They're calling for something like a royal commission, something with coercive powers, just around this $80 million buyback.
Good morning, Fran, and good morning, listeners. Fran, yes, potentially this water mining, Watergate issue is the tip of a melting iceberg. It speaks more broadly to a fundamental mistrust that the people in my community have in government and in major party politicians. It really speaks to an issue of integrity. It speaks to an issue that people are asking, who is benefiting from policy in this country? And this Watergate issue really is speaking to a broader malaise across Indi in a mistrust in major party politics.
Rob Oakeshott, is this issue playing in the New South Wales mid-north coast? I mean, water more broadly, but particularly this current Watergate scandal?
Both the Watergate scandal is playing, and water more broadly is, I think, something at the ballot box. Not only the issue of the buybacks and the whole Murray-Darling generally, in our area, the eco-health of the river valleys, what are called blackwater events where rivers are deoxygenated. I'm getting photos sent to me of fish kills in the local rivers. Western New South Wales is dry. We've got a lot of connection there. Towns are importing water. And then it plays into a broader, I think, national strategic direction of issues like the fight for the Bight down south and Save the Reef up north. Water is a very real issue that is at the heart of our national culture, and people are upset and wanting answers to what has happened in the decision-making of government, not only on questions of value for money, but, you know, who's doing deals with who and why.
Is this controversy then a gift to independent candidates like you in regional seats?
Running against the Nats? Yeah, look, I don't think this is about the National Party. I think this is about the country. And, I think the emergence of more and more independent candidates from across the country is about communities wanting to build themselves up from the base and get control of their democracy again. You know, we are, and I think we reflect that sense of building community up, not ripping prime ministers down, as a symbol of frustration from a country about current politics.
Another major issue, and if we're talking about climate change and the environment, is of course the Adani Carmichael coal mine has become emblematic in terms of the environment in this campaign. I understand you want a transparent process around the Commonwealth approval. Opposition leader Bill Shorten has refused to rule out a review of the Morrison government's decision to approve the project. If you were elected, if you had any kind of balance of power influence, what would you be demanding here?
Is this for me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, you would recall my old mate Tony Windsor and I going through that whole process of trying to get the water trigger in the EPBC Act. We did it. What's been sad after being out of politics for 6 years is to watch the number of state and federal government approvals that go around the back door of that water trigger. And so don't treat water seriously in the process. So if elected, and if the numbers in the parliament are that the political parties want to just sit back and leave it to the crossbench to make decisions, I will happily, and hopefully with crossbench colleagues, make sure there is a transparent process of decision making about any future projects that involve groundwater and that water trigger in the EPBC Act.
Okay, Helen Hayes, Bob Brown's Adani convoy came through Indi. What kind of reception did it receive? And, you know, the local member for Capricornia, Michelle Landry, told us here on Breakfast the other day, people down south shouldn't have a say in the future of a mine that is promising to deliver thousands of jobs to a community that really needs jobs.
Fran, there was tremendous interest in the Adani protest led by Bob Brown, and I think that what the people of Indi are saying, and particularly the young people of Indi are saying, is that the Adani question is emblematic of a broader policy vacuum that we have around climate change more generally, and a lack of leadership around establishing good renewable industry, renewable energy industry, and something it speaks really to our future. So the Adani protest that came through Indi was certainly taken very seriously by many people here and was very, very well attended. And I think it's an important thing to look to the future of what Australia stands for in terms of climate change policy, and more broadly in rural communities such as ours. We see there's enormous opportunity for us to get engaged with the potential boom in renewable technology. So, yes, a lot of interest in the Adani issue down here.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guests, Rob Oakeshott, who's running as an independent in the seat of Cowper, Kevin Mack, who's running running as an independent in the seat of Farah, and Helen Haynes running as an independent in the seat of Indi, as Cathy McGowan has retired. She faces a three-corner contest there. Kevin Mack, you've been nominated in the as the independent in Farah by the Voices of Farah campaign, modelled very much on the Voices of Indi campaign that elected Cathy McGowan and has now nominated Helen Haynes to run. You're up against a long-standing local member, Susan Lee. Susan Lee is an assistant minister. She's been a former cabinet minister. Why would the locals throw out someone who's had seniority in government and influence inside the tent for an independent who may not end up with much capacity to influence change?
Well, just the last one I debate, because I think the crossbench has influenced change quite obviously during the last term of government, I think.
Yes, but that was a balance of power situation. It's not always necessarily going to be that, is it?
But I think the crossbench in the new government to be formed after the 18th of May will be a bigger crossbench. So the polling that we're hearing and the polling from both major parties are it's going to be a very, very close election. And so I think in terms of the voices, and I listen to Helen, I listen to Rob, the voices that people are emerging from an understanding that they have a voice and have an opportunity for change. And I think 18 years in Farah is enough for any politician. And I think as a local government member, I think there should be fixed terms for politicians at any level, because I think 9 years to me is enough time for people to make change. I think 18 years is too long, and that's what the people in Farah are saying to me, that, you know, there's a lot of change around the world that we see, but they want to have a voice and some say in that change. And I think a good example, and we talk about Adani, we talk about the buybacks, but an interesting example that Rob mentioned was the haste that they were able to get through the Adani project at the Commonwealth level. Well, the same occurred down here in Mildura. Speaking to Wentworth locals last night, the pipeline from the Murray River to Broken Hill was put through within a three-year cycle. Now, as a local government member, that's just incredibly quick. And there are a lot of questions to be asked about that pipeline, because there's a lot of discussion about what it is actually servicing, because there are mines owned by the Chinese and Gina Reinhardt within that precinct of the pipeline that will benefit from that water. Now, that is environmental water. That is water for our communities and our agricultural communities. Now, there's a lot of questions people are asking, and they want answers. And unfortunately, the Coalition and the Labor Party aren't providing those answers. And I think with an independent, they can get those answers.
Just briefly on this before I go to the others, because this will be their last question too. How close do you think you are to taking on Susan Lee, to knocking off Susan Lee? Do you have any local in polling or any indication?
Well, polling would suggest if you're polling with the sports bet, I'm very close. And I think sports bet is all the polling companies that everyone else uses, because they don't like to lose money. So I'm not overly confident, but I'm confident that we're running a strong campaign and we're doing what we need to do. And I look forward to the 18th.
Rob Oakeshott, let's go with Sportsbet then. How are you rating on Sportsbet?
Oh, who knows? People tell me I'm doing all right. But look, if it's based on the number of youth who are unemployed in the area, those who are frustrated about the NDIS and the NBN, and those who finally want the Coffs Harbour bypass built, then I'm looking all right.
Can I ask you about Clive Palmer's party, United Australia Party? Polling and news poll this week suggests that his big spending campaign has really succeeded in building his support. Is Rob Oakeshott, is it a factor in your seat? And is the age of the independent, do you think, fading in perhaps in favour of smaller parties, minor parties, as voters cast about for someone other than the majors to support?
To answer the first question first, there's billboards up. The only time I've really come across it in my life is when my wife got a text from him on the couch next to me. But
lot of people are getting texts, and yeah, right, I would suggest it's having an impact.
Well, I don't. You don't know. So she deleted it. Now, if that's what everyone's doing, we'll wait and see. But as far as people, I think, there is a sense of change. The feedback I get very strongly is this government is largely cooked. But there is a problem with leaping across to the alternative. Many people are saying their cat hairs are just telling them they're not quite able to do that. I actually don't think that's what's driving the push from the bottom up from regional independence, but whether that is helping in the current environment, maybe it is.
Helen Haynes, what about you? Is the United Australia Party running in your seat?
Yes, they are, Fran, but I don't hear too many people in the community talking about them outside of the occasional text message too. But what we've got in Indi, Fran, is a track record of 6 years of having an independent member for Parliament.
And but you're also facing a pretty full-blooded campaign, aren't you, from the Liberals and the Nationals? You've got a three-cornered contest there in a sense.
We have indeed, and they're throwing everything at it, Fran. The airwaves are crowded with advertisements, and our letterboxes are crowded with flyers and pamphlets. But again, I would say in Indi, we've led the nation really in grassroots community participatory democracy of people getting together and getting behind an independent, and that's what they're doing for me. And we've seen 6 years of value for money of having an independent. And I guess the other thing I could say is, you know, we've gone from being a safe Liberal seat to a marginal seat, and the election promises from the coalition are pouring in. But that's really all they are, is promises. And I think the communities of Indi really very much understand the value that having an independent has meant for them, again, in terms of decency, transparency, honesty and delivery on the ground of really good responses to problems such as mobile phone black spots, okay, small grants programs that have come into Indi. You know, I think in this electorate, we're really optimistic and very hopeful that we can make history here and follow an independent with an independent. But make no mistake, it is a very, very tough competition here in Indi.
And Kevin Mack, just briefly, what kind of competition are you facing, and is the United Australia Party a part of that?
Well, you know, they are a part of it. There's a member from Mathara, but Farah just won't withstand, I don't think, the notion of the United Australia Party, because I think they still remember that Clive hasn't paid his workers, and I think that really is a blight on his campaign. But, okay, you know, I think as independents, and Cathy McGowan is on our side, I think we're in a good space at the moment.
All right, Kevin Mack, Helen Haynes, and Rob Oakeshott, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Fran.
Thank you, Fran.
Rob Oakeshott is running as an independent in the seat of Cowper, held by, well, the outgoing member, a national member, Luke Hartsicker. Kevin Mack is running as an independent in Farah against Liberal former minister, but assistant minister now, Susan Lee, and Helen Haynes is running in Indi in Victoria, hoping to replace outgoing independent Cathy McGowan. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 5 minutes to 8.